time to honor four young people getting ready to start a new season. But I noticed something in worship today. Can I get you four just to stand up? You don't need to turn around. Just stand up. Look at how they sat. Shortest to tallest. It's like the Wi-Fi signal, and we got all four bars. It's exciting. Go ahead and have a seat. I sat there, and I saw that, and I went, did you plan that? That was excellent. All my years, I've never seen that work out like that. You guys are special. You're special. So we get to honor them today, and I'm excited. I love this as a pastor / youth pastor because these four specifically, I've had relationship with them in different ways. And, you know, I've got opportunities to speak into their lives on occasions and different aspects of their life. But today as the pastor, right before they launch into a new season of life, I get the opportunity to challenge you. Now, the message today is for all of us. All of us can get something out of it, but I'm speaking especially to you four today, okay? You cool with that? And I promise, Reese, I know you got to get to state golf. I promise I'll get you out on time so you catch the bus, even with a plate of cake. I don't know how it's going to work, but we're going to get there. In one week, you will walk across the stage and graduate high school. Isn't that surreal? It is insane. You are standing in one of those moments where one chapter of your life is ending and a new one is beginning. And that's exciting. It's like, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm out of here, right? I'm gone. Got some going to the military, some going to college. I don't know what you have in your future, but I know that it's exciting, and I also know that there is a truth that even in this new chapter coming up, it can be a little unsettling because you're leaving everything that you know from your whole life, and things are going to change. And change is a strange thing because sometimes we want change, and sometimes we fear it, and sometimes we think that we're ready for it until it comes, right? Anybody been there? But the Bible reminds us of the seasons in our life, and seasons are a part of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, the author says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." And then it lists a bunch of things, a time for joy, a time for grief. I mean, it's a long thing, but there's a season for everything in life. And life is full of changing seasons. You've been on this planet for a hot minute, you understand that there's seasons, right? And it's like some seasons are really, really fun and some seasons are really, really not fun. And you guys right now, the seasons of your life have been, you went to grade school, then middle school, and then high school. And then you're going to graduate high school and you're going to be, the season's going to change from living at home to making more of your own decisions, from one job to another, from singleness to marriage, to raising kids and eventually releasing them when they graduate high school. But one thing is sure, that life keeps moving. And every adult in here will agree with this statement. Once you graduate high school, it seems like it goes at hyperspeed. It does not feel like I've been out of high school for almost 40 years. That's scary. No judging. You guys have been out there a lot longer. There's some of you guys probably don't even remember your high school graduation. It's been so long. But life keeps moving. And one of the most important things that we ever learn is how to walk with God in these changing seasons. Because seasons will change. It is unavoidable. People change. Schedules change. Friendship groups will change. Responsibilities change. Everything changes but one thing. And this is something that we all need to stand on. God never changes. God never changes. And if you're going to navigate changing seasons successfully, you're going to need more than excitement. You're going to need more than talent. You're going to need more than a plan. You're going to need direction. So here's my question. How many of you can count to 100? Raise your hand. Not a trick question, I promise. We all can count to 100. Now, here's what I want you to do. On the rack in front of you and on the floor in front of you is a piece of paper pulled out. It should look like this. Can you count to 100? Right? Here's what we're going to do. Get a pen. If we need to get a pen, you can get one from my Miss Charity. Will help you with a pen. Get you one. All right? We're going to look at that side. I got to get my timer out. Here's what I want you to do. All right? It's filled with numbers 1 to 100. Scattered all over the page. And here's the challenge. When I say go, you will have 1 minute to find as many numbers as you can in order. No cheating. That means 1, then 2, then 3, and so on for 1 minute. You ready? No skipping ahead. No just jumping around. 1 through as many as you can in 1 minute. You ready? If you're ready, say uh-huh. Set, go. No working together. No cheating. Cheater, pumpkin eaters. We need the Jeopardy music. And time, stop. And put your pens down. Whoo! All right. How many of you made it past 10? Raise your hand. How many made 20? 30. Whoo! You got Ryan? Unless you're Rain Man, you probably didn't get that far. Most of us probably didn't get very far. Why? They're all out of order, but you had no clear direction. Now, flip the page over. Same basic challenge, 1 to 100, but this time they're in 4 sections. And before we begin, I'm going to give you some direction, right? First, number 1 is in the top right corner of quadrant 1. Number 2 is in the upper right upper left. Number 1's left. Number 2 is upper right section. Number 3 is the lower right. Number 4 is lower left. And that pattern continues clockwise. Okay? We all know which way clockwise is, right? This way. Okay? It's like, I've been out of school too long. Here it is. Same amount of time. Same basic challenge. 1 minute. Ready, set, go. Said by everybody that found number 5. No judgment. It's all good. Time. Pins down. Okay, how many made it further that time? Look around. Most everybody made it further. You made it past 20? Who made it past 20? Who made it past 30? Who made it past 40? 35. We know. Just kidding, Annika. What's your issue?
29 and 30 are right next to each other in the same box.
Yeah.
Did you find them?
Yeah.
Then it's not an issue. Typically, in this thing, the difference is dramatic. And it was dramatic how many people made it further. Right? Because once you, the challenge didn't disappear, the numbers didn't get easier, you had direction. Direction changes everything. Seniors, this is what I want you to get today, that some direction to help you navigate life and to help you navigate the changing seasons with God and in your life. Does that make sense? And so you're stepping into a season that have a whole lot of new numbers on the page, new opportunities, new choices, new freedoms, new temptations, new responsibilities, new voices, new relationships, and even new questions. And if you try to sort it out without direction, you can get lost really, really quickly. But when you let God direct your steps, you can walk into the next season with wisdom, with strength, and with faith. Not perfectly. None of us are perfect. And not without mistakes, and not without hard days. But you can do it because you're anchored. So today I want to give you some biblical guidance for navigating change of seasons well. And seniors, as I thought about this, it's like I want to share with you seven things that I wish somebody would have shared with me before I walked across that graduation stage. And so the first one that I want to share with you is keep your spiritual anchors in place. If everything around you is changing, you will need to know what doesn't change and what can't change. And seniors, the first thing that I would say to you is, don't let a new season pull you away from your spiritual anchors. Because one of the biggest lies in transition is, I'll get back to God later. I'll pray later. I'll read my Bible later. I'll find a church later. I'll get serious about my faith later. But here's the problem. Life rarely settles down, if ever. It just changes shape. There will always be something. There'll be a new schedule, a new job, new classes, new friends, new pressures, new responsibilities. So you have to decide ahead of time that you are going to stay anchored. That means that there are things, some things that you choose before the pressure hits. Does that make sense? You choose to stay in the Word of God. You choose to pray. You choose to worship. You choose to gather with other believers. You choose to keep your relationship with Jesus center. Not because you're always going to feel like it, and not because it's always going to be easy, but because anchors are crucial. Anchors are not for calm water. Therefore, when the wind picks up, and when the storms start raging, the anchors are what holds you steady. And one of the things that I have learned in my very long life is that you don't drift into spiritual strength. You don't accidentally become faithful. You don't stumble into closeness with Jesus. You build it. Little by little, choice by choice, day by day, you build it. And church family, that's true for all of us. Most of us are not graduating from high school. Like I said before, most of us barely remember high school. But we're still changing seasons. It might be a new season at work. It might be a new season in your marriage. It might be a new season with kids. It might be a new season of grief or a new season of aging or a new season of just uncertainty. But the same truth applies to all of us that it does for these four seniors. When life changes, we need to stay anchored in Jesus. The second thing that I want to share with you is tell Jesus what you're really feeling. And here's what, you know, it's like, what? That's kind of a dumb thing. No, it's not dumb. Here's the thing that I have learned, that we don't just talk about Jesus, we talk to Jesus, right? And when you talk to him, be honest. I mean, he already knows, so be honest. But sometimes in church, we get really good at saying the right things, don't we? You know, I'm fine. God's good. Everything is okay. And in that statement, the only thing that is solid is, yes, God is good. He's always good. But sometimes things aren't fine. And sometimes everything is not okay. And sometimes you are grateful and grieving at the same time. Sometimes you're ready for the next season, but sad about what you're leaving behind. And that's okay. Jesus is not intimidated by our honest emotions. He gave us these emotions. He's not offended by your questions. He's not shocked by your fears. And he's not pushed away by your tears. Hear me when I say that the Lord can become and needs to become the safest place in your life to bring the things that you don't know how to say anywhere else. It's the safest place to bring your dreams, your doubts, your fears, your frustrations, your disappointments, your temptations, your loneliness, and your excitement. We should be bringing them all to him. The Psalms are filled with people talking honestly to God. I mean, you find one spot that says, Lord, where are you? Or, Lord, how long do I need to be here? Or, Lord, I'm afraid. Or, Lord, I need your help. Or, Lord, I just trust you. That's real faith, when we can be honest and talk to Jesus. Real faith is not pretending that you never struggle. Real faith is bringing that struggle to Jesus. So seniors, you're going to have moments where you feel like you have to prove yourself. You may feel like you need to act like you have it all together. But can I tell you a secret about that? You don't. Not one person in this building has it all together, especially me. And you don't have to have it all together. That's the beauty of a relationship with Jesus, because you have a Savior who already knows you completely and loves you deeply. So can I challenge you to talk to him? Before you post it, talk to Jesus. Before you panic, talk to Jesus. Before you make the decision, talk to Jesus. Before you give up, talk to Jesus. Before you follow the crowd, talk to Jesus. Let him be the one that you run to first. Number three, find godly community quickly. This third thing is very simple sounding, but it's huge. Find a church fast. If you're moving away, going to school, starting a job, or stepping into a new environment, please don't treat the church like an optional add-on. Find one quickly. Not eventually, not when life slows down, not after you've tried everything else. Find a church. And let me be honest with you. I know that there's several of you that go to different churches, and that is fine. But let me just tell you that it probably won't feel exactly like that church, or it won't feel like New Life. It just won't, and that's okay. Because every church has its own personality, every church has its own style, and every church has its own people and rhythm. Don't look for a perfect church, because if you're looking for a perfect church, there isn't a perfect church, because we're all in it. Look for a biblical church. Look for a Christ-centered church, a church where the word of God is preached, a church where people worship Jesus, a church where you can serve, a church where people will know your name, and a church where you can grow as an individual, because the Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. You need people. You need people who will pray for you. You need people who will encourage you. You need people who will challenge you. You will need people who notice when you're drifting. And you need people who will remind you of who you are when you've forgotten. And church family, this is one of the reasons we need to be that kind of church, a kind of church that sends our young people well. Not just a congratulations, good luck, pff, out the door. But we love you. We're proud of you. We're excited for you. We're praying for you. We believe God has a purpose for your life. And wherever you go, stay connected to the body of Christ, because isolation is dangerous. And seasons of change can make isolation feel normal, but it's not good. God did not design you to follow Jesus by yourself. That's why he created the church. Not this building, the people. You picking up what I'm throwing down? Number four, be careful which voices you listen to. This one's huge. And I want to speak straight from the heart today. When the seasons change, the voices around you will change also. And not every voice deserves, there's the word, influence in your life. Some voices will call you closer to Jesus, and some voices will pull you away. Some voices will remind you of who you are in Christ, and some voices will remind you of who you used to be. And some voices will bring wisdom, and some voices will stir up foolishness. And you have to learn the difference. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Peter says, of course your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. So Peter is saying that when you choose to follow Jesus, some people won't understand why you no longer did the things that you used to do. They may make fun of you. They may pressure you. They may say, come on, you know, kick out of it. You've changed. You're dumb, whatever. And they may try to pull you back to the old person. And you will need to decide which voice you will listen to. There's a story about a young man who came from a wealthy home. And in his family, it had become a tradition for each child who graduated from high school to receive a car. Wouldn't that be awesome? Any of you receiving a car? They all went. No. So that's their tradition. So as this young man approached his graduation, this young man went shopping with his dad. He found the car that he wanted. His dad seemed good with it, so the young man was sure that on graduation night, he would get the keys to this brand new car. But graduation night came, and his dad did not hand him the keys. Instead, his dad tenderly handed him a Bible and said, everything that you will ever need for life and your future is in this book. And the young man was angry, not disappointed, he was angry. And his friends were standing nearby, and instead of calming him down, they fueled it. Didn't your sister get a car? Didn't your brother get a car? Man, that's not fair. Your dad is horrible. You got ripped off. And the more that those friends talked, the angrier this young man became. He was so upset that when his friends invited him to leave and go party, he went. He refused to talk to his dad. He wanted nothing to do with his Bible. And a couple days later, his family called and said, you need to come to the hospital. Your dad had been in a terrible accident. And his father never recovered. After the funeral, the young man went home and picked up the Bible. Now it had a different weight to it. And he opened it. And tucked inside the pages was a cashier's check for the full amount of that car that he wanted. And written on the check were the same words his father had spoken. Everything you will ever need for your life and your future is in this book. What a heartbreaking picture, isn't it? You're like, gosh, Pastor, you're a downer. But listen to me, he had the gift in his hands, but he never opened it. He had the direction that he needed, but he rejected it. He let the wrong voices feed his anger, and it cost him dearly. So seniors, listen to me. The wrong voices in your life can rob you of the right things. They can rob you of peace. They can rob you of wisdom. They can rob you of purity. They can rob you of obedience. They can rob you of relationships, and they can rob you of moments that you will never, ever get back. So choose carefully who gets your ear, because whoever gets your ear often influences your heart. And number five, tie yourself to people who are walking with Jesus. One of the wisest things that you can do in a new season is find someone who has already walked through it faithfully. Don't look for just people your own age. Us gray hairs have some wisdom. There's nothing new under the sun. We have gone through everything that you have ever gone through or ever will go through. It just maybe looks a little different because we did it in the 1900s. Look for people with wisdom. And not every gray hair has wisdom either. Find the people who love Jesus and have some miles on them. Someone who has walked through the pressure and stayed faithful. Someone who has and keeps their heart tender. Someone who has learned from mistakes. Someone who you can call and tell the truth about what's crushing you. Someone who will pray for you and call you to a higher place. Seniors, you need people ahead of you. That's not weakness. That's wisdom. And church family, this is where we need to pay attention to in this too, right? The next generation doesn't need just lectures. They need examples. They need people who will say, you can call me any time of the day. You can ask me questions. You can sit with me. You can serve with us. You can talk honestly. You don't have to have it figured out all alone. One of the greatest gifts you have in a changing season is a godly person who helps you see clearly. Because when you are in the middle of transition, everything can feel urgent, everything can feel confusing, but wisdom helps you slow down. Wisdom says, let's pray. Wisdom says, let's think this through. Wisdom says, what does God's word say about it? Wisdom says, where is this decision going to take me? Tie yourself to people who help you follow Jesus. Number six, choose your friends before your friends choose your future. This next step, this next one is so important. Pursue the right relationships on purpose. Because if you don't intentionally build the right relationships, the wrong ones will find you. I promise you, you could take that to the bank. And that is especially true in changing seasons. When you are lonely, and there will be times, if you're in college especially, that you will be lonely. When you are lonely, you become more vulnerable. When you are bored, you will become more vulnerable. When you are isolated, you will become more vulnerable. And when you want to belong, you become more vulnerable. And the enemy knows how to use that. He's been doing it for a millennia. He knows how to bring people into your life who seem fun, who seem exciting and accepting at first. But over time, they begin to pull you in a direction that you were never meant to go. And the issue isn't always where wrong friendships start, right? The issue is where they eventually lead. There's a story about John Dillinger. Anybody know who John Dillinger is? One of America's most infamous criminals. John Dillinger didn't start robbing banks right off the bat. He started much, much smaller. And as a young man, he began hanging around the wrong crowd, the wrong people at first. And it was simply foolish stuff that they would do, right? Foolish, foolish things. His friends got him involved in stealing chickens from local farmers. Sounds ridiculous. Stealing chickens. Don't be stealing my chickens. I love my chickens. But that's what he started, right? Those small acts of rebellion opened the door to bigger ones. Stealing chickens began stealing cars. Stealing cars became robbing banks. Robbing banks became running from the law. Running from the law became violence and death. A life of destruction didn't begin with bank robbery. It began with chickens. It began with the wrong crowd and small compromises. And that is the warning. Sin usually doesn't announce where it's going to take you. I love this quote, and I've used it a ton. Sin will always take you further than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and cost you more than you were ever able to pay. It just says, come on, it's no big deal. Sin says, everybody else is doing it. Sin says, just this once, it's okay. Nobody will know. You deserve to have fun. No one will ever know. But seniors, small compromises can become big, big chains. Your friendships matter. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. The people closest to you will either help you become more like Jesus, or they will slowly pull you away from him. That doesn't mean that you are unkind to people who don't follow Jesus. Oh, Lord knows we got enough of those. We love people. We serve people. We build relationships with people, and we shine the light of Christ. But you need to be wise about who you let shape you. A wrong friend is not just someone who disagrees with you. A wrong friend is someone who constantly pulls you away from God's best. And in changing seasons, no friend for a little while is better than the wrong friends. That may sound a little bit lonely, but it's true. Don't panic and attach yourself to the first group of people that accept you. Pray. Be wise. Look for people who are chasing Jesus. And be proactive. Don't just wait for a Christian friend to call you. You call them. You introduce yourself to them. You show up. You join the church, a group. You start serving. You make the effort because your future is too important to let wrong people steal it and steer it. You hear me? Number 7, remember that you are not just leaving a season, you are stepping into a calling. And what do I mean by that? Seniors, you can feel like this is the end of something. And in one sense, it is. It's the end of high school. Woohoo! And it's the end of certain routines. And it's the end of seeing the same people every day, most likely. And the end of some familiar places and rhythms. But for the follower of Jesus, graduation is not just the ending. It's the sending. God is not just moving you out of high school. He is sending you into the next place as a representative of Jesus. You're not just going to work. You're not just trying to figure out life. You're being sent. Sent to carry the light of Jesus. Sent to live differently. sent to love people, to serve people, to speak the truth, to bring hope, and sent to follow Jesus in a world that desperately, desperately needs him. And that's not just for the graduating seniors. That's for all of us. Because seasons change. Church family, every new season is important. And it's an opportunity to ask, Lord, what are you doing in me? Lord, where are you sending me? Lord, how do you want me to represent you here and where I'm at today? Because seasons change. But even though seasons change, the mission doesn't. Jesus still calls us to follow him. Jesus still calls all of us to love him. Jesus still calls all of us to love people and to make disciples. And Jesus still calls us to be the light in dark places. And I want to close with a picture that many parents understand deeply. And I'm going to warn you right now, especially moms of these graduating seniors, grab some Kleenex. And I might even get all sniffly. This is a story. It was written as a letter from a mother to her son the night before he starts kindergarten. And she writes, "Tomorrow is a day I always knew would come. I just never thought it would come so soon. Your clothes are all laid out. Your hair has been cut. The forms are filled out. The supplies are bought, everything is ready, but I'm not ready. Have I told you everything that you need to know? Look both ways before you cross the street. Don't talk to strangers. Say please and thank you. Take turns, share. Don't lose your temper. Have I taught you how to choose good friends? Have I told you enough about the world? There are things I want you to learn, like reading and writing and adding and subtracting. But there are things I wish you didn't have to learn yet. Like, some people can be mean. That the world can be dirty. That there are dangers and temptations and voices I cannot always protect you from. If I could, I might freeze you right here. So full of imagination, so full of joy, so trusting. But if I stopped the clock, I would miss all that is still to come. I would never see you ride a bike. I would never hear you read me a story. I would miss all the ball games, all the recitals, the laughter, the music, the smelly shoes, the first car, the first big step, and someday your graduation. So tomorrow, I will walk you into your kindergarten class. You will let go of my hand and walk through the door. And I will pray for your teacher. I will pray for your friends. I will pray for the boy you are becoming. And I will ask God to help me find my place in your new world. But tonight, I'm going to creep into your room, lie down on the floor, and watch you sleep just a little longer. Good night, my baby. Good morning, my son." Now, that picture hits differently when you realize that life is full of moments just like that. Moments where someone lets go of your hand. Moments where you walk through a new door. Moments where the people who love you cannot go everywhere with you the way that they once did. Seniors, some of your parents and your grandparents feel that way today. They are proud of you. They are excited for you. But there is also a tenderness in this moment because they remember when you were little. They remember those moments. They remember the scraped knees and the bedtime prayers. They remember the ball games, the school programs, the late nights, the hard talk, the smelly tennis shoes, and ordinary moments that now feel sacred. And now you're here, ready to walk through another door. But the good news is, even when your parents can't go everywhere with you, Jesus can. even when your church family is not physically beside you every day, Jesus is. Even when you are in a new place, Jesus is not new. Even when you face new pressure, Jesus is not surprised. Even when the seasons changed, Jesus remains faithful. So don't walk into this next season alone. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. So at this moment, I'm going to invite you four to come stand right up here in the Wi-Fi style. That's so cute. And face the church. I'm also going to invite the senior or the elders to come. I think we're missing one. Miss Charity, would you help me? Beautiful wife of mine. You take one of those. Okay, fellas, come on. I'll give you that. You can go Christopher, and then you're Reese. I want you to stand off to the side just a second. We have a tradition of giving them a Bible for graduation. We're going to, in a moment, present this Bible to each of you. And our prayer is that this won't become just another graduation gift. It will be a reminder of wherever life takes you, God's word will always give you truth, wisdom, direction, and hope. And it will be all that you need for your life and your future to be successful. Senior class of 2026, we are proud of you. Proud of your hard work, your growth, and the ways that God has shaped your lives this far. But more than anything, our prayer is that you will keep following Jesus. When you know what is next and when you don't, when you feel strong and when you feel weak, when life goes as planned and when it doesn't, when it snows on the May 17th, keep following Jesus. Keep your anchors in place. Talk honestly with him. Find godly community. Choose wise voices and faithful friends. And remember, you are being sent. Church family, this is not just a message for our graduating seniors. It's a message for all of us. Because we all walk through changing seasons somewhere, sometime. And the invitation of Jesus is still the same. Follow me. Not just in the season that you're leaving, follow him in the season that you are entering. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing over these four. The elders are going to stand, and my wife is going to stand in front and pray, or behind. You can stand behind and pray. What I'm going to ask of you guys is extend a hand towards them. We're going to pray a prayer of blessing over each of them. And then we're going to have cake. I think are we still going to sing a song? We'll sing a song and then we'll eat cake. All right, here we go. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for every season of life. We thank you for the seasons that have shaped us, stretched us, and brought us to this moment. Thank you especially for these graduating seniors. Lord, we are so grateful for their lives, their stories, their gifts, and the plans that you have for them. And as they step into this next season, I pray, Lord, that you would help them stay anchored in you. Give them wisdom for decisions, courage for temptations, discernment in relationships, strength when they feel alone, humility when they succeed, and grace when they stumble. And faith to keep following Jesus no matter what changes around them. Surround them, Father, with godly people. Lead them to strong churches. Protect their hearts from the wrong voices. And remind them again and again that they are never alone. And Lord, as for all of us walking through changing seasons, help us trust you. When we can't see the whole path, remind us that you are still faithful. When we feel unsettled, remind us that you are our anchor. And when we are tempted to drift, draw us back in your heart. Jesus, we choose to follow you in every season. And in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. New Life Church, I present to you our class of 2026. Will you give them some love? Stand with me as we sing a song of closing, and then I encourage you to stick around and celebrate with these guys a little bit.